And if you want to turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 12, Romans chapter 12, if you're using the Bible you've got on the way in, it's page 945. And if you need a Bible, it's our gift to you. Just take it. Help yourself to that too. Okay? And let's see. The focus so far in Romans 12 has been righteous living. Okay, we started a whole new section, righteous living, specifically in the church. Righteous living in the church, okay? And today, last week we did conformers or transformers. Woo! But today we're going to do is discovering and using our spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts. Some of you might be saying, what are you talking about? You're in for a lot of some good one here. Discovering and using our spiritual gifts, Romans 12, 3 to 8. Don't you love getting a presents? You love getting presents? Christmas, birthday, right? Love getting presents. But imagine you get these presents, but you don't open them. You don't open your gifts. Can you imagine that? I can't imagine all of our kids. I can't imagine people not opening their presents, right? Or you open them, and then you use that present, or if you're a kid, you play with that present, and then you get tired of it, and you stop, the excitement wears off, and that's that. That's actually not hard to imagine, is it? That must-have toy, and they play with it for about 2 days, and that's it. It's crazy, right? A lot of us do this with our spiritual gifts. We don't open them, and we don't use them. You see, when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, the moment you did that, the Holy Spirit came in, and he came in not just coming in, but he also brought gifts with him. He brought at least, every Christian has at least one spiritual gift, and we might have more. He brings them with them, and he gives us these spiritual gifts. But many Christians never open. They never discover their spiritual gifts, while many others find out, but they don't use it. They don't develop it. They don't reach their spiritual potential. And that's what I want to really focus on. We all have at least one spiritual gift, and my goal from today is that you will discover, develop, and minister using the spiritual gifts that God has given you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the worship. Thank you for everyone who's here today and everybody who's out there watching somewhere, wherever they are, Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to us, that every one of us would be using our spiritual gifts. And Lord, I pray for anybody who's never put their faith in Jesus, that they would receive the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, a brand new life through Jesus Christ. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, so Romans 12, 3 to 8. And there's an insert in your bulletin. You can follow along because I want to give you something to follow on this one. But we'll just read it, first of all. I'll use the screen here. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If your gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is to encourage, let him encourage. If it is in contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. All right, so here we go, the outline. So first of all, we're going to start with the gift. Talking about the first part on the outline, the gift. Verses 3 to 5, I'm going to read it again. For the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, so in Christ we who are many, I'm trying to do this by memory, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Okay, good. Sorry, I was going by memory and I lost that for a second. It's not good getting old. All right, so first we have to understand the difference between talents and spiritual gifts. There's a lot of confusion with this. Talents are something we get when we are born. We're born with them. We're born with these talents. They're God-given abilities that you get at birth. You just have them, all right? And we are responsible for developing and using these for God, right? Remember the parable of the talents? Help me out here. The parable of the talents, right? Talking about talents, right? Going back to the New Testament next. All right, anyway. But spiritual gifts are something we get when we are born again. So you get your talents at birth, but you get your spiritual gifts when you are born again. For instance, you might have a talent for singing, but that doesn't mean you have a gift for worship. That's a whole different gift. Leading the worship is a whole different gift. You might be good at teaching. Your school teacher doesn't mean you can teach the Word of God effectively, because teaching is teaching God's Word. It's a very, very different thing, okay? Second of all, a gift is just that. It's a gift. It's given to us. It's given to us. The Greek word for this is charisma. Charisma. And it comes from the word charis, which means grace. Grace, okay? And God, grace given, right? And God decides who gets what? Romans 12:3. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Given you. It's given to us. God decides what everybody gets, okay? Now, the grace given, which means we shouldn't get big heads about it, right? It's not about us. Imagine you're at a family gathering and you're exchanging gifts. And ours is big. You know, when we do our family, we do this, everybody picks their name out of the hat, all the kids, and they all give. It's really a great, great time. But it's big. But imagine you get something on Christmas. You draw, someone drew your name out of the hat 2 weeks ago. They give you a present, and you start bragging, oh, look what I got. Look what I got. Can you imagine that? You know, bragging about it? That'd be pretty silly, right? But that's how we look in the body of Christ when we have pride about the gifts God has given us. It's silly, right? Silly. And we should have no pride and also no shame. No shame. Whether you have 10 gifts or one gift, it's all God's choice. And we all have at least one gift. Everybody has at least one. Sometimes we have more than that. And we shouldn't try to be something we are not. Notice the worship team has never invited me to sing. I've tried all these songs. I've auditioned, all the ones. I just want to be a sheep. Bah, bah. I use these songs, and they never say, hey, Pastor Chuck, you should join. Never do it, all right? So
we're still deciding.
Remember the gong show? If you had a gong, be gong, Remember that? All right, that's really going back. All right, so no pride or competition. Because the purpose is to serve. And 1 Peter 4:10, it says this. Each one of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Use it to serve others. That's the whole point of it, is to serve others. So the more gifts we have, the more we should serve. If you have 10 gifts, you should be serving 10 times more, right? So it's all about service. And spiritual gifts are for the body of Christ. They're for the body. Romans 12, 4 to 5. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. They're for the body. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. Listen to what he says here this time. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, these parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. Very interesting, very interesting. Once again, there is no room for pride. We're there for each other. The purpose is for the good. Any gift that you have, and even the talents that God has given us, is for the good of the body. All are important. The key is faithfulness. Faithfulness, that's the key. Everybody is so important. When you see somebody in our church who's a servant and they're serving, what should you think? You'd say, there's my hands. There's my hands. If you see someone leading worship and they're really effective, you could say, there's my big toe. There's my big toe. Nobody watched Bill Murray. You know, remember the Bill Murray movie when he was stressing how important somebody was? He said, you're the big toe of our team. No, you don't remember that one? Anyway, all right. I'm really dating myself, all right? You see that was the whole joke of it. If you see the preacher, you say, there's my big mouth. All right. See, I got myself too. All right. We are all part of the body. We are all critical. Sadly, there are too many phantom limbs. Do you know what a phantom limb is? Whenever there's wars and people get wounded and they lose an arm or a leg, they end up having that part amputated. But you know what happens? It still hurts. It still itches. They still think they have it, and it's crazy, but it's not there. And sadly, there are too many phantom limbs in the body of Christ. They're not there, right? They're just not there. The body hurts when we have phantom limbs. Just like you feel the pain in that phantom limb, the body hurts when we don't find our gifts and use our spiritual gifts. That's what happens. What would happen if your whole body didn't wake up this morning? Some of you said, I don't know if it did, yeah? But what if it didn't wake up? What if it didn't step up? What if your eyes said, I'm just too tired to open today? You know, you'd be trying to get into church, right? What if the arm, not today, I'm tired. What if the legs, no, I'm too sore. Some of you say, that's how I'm feeling, all right? Maybe the brain, I'm on overload. I just need one day off. I'm going to take a Sunday off, right? What if that happened? When it does happen, it's tragic, right? Got to go to the doctor. So applying this to the body of Christ, it's crazy the reasons people take church off, take worship off, neglect the body of Christ. And I'm not talking about sickness. A lot of people are sick this week. It's like Andrew said, it's good you stayed home. We don't want to spread those germs, right? I'm not talking about that. But people for any and every reason will just miss worship. And I always want to say to people, I go, well, I can't come because of blah, blah, blah. I always want to say, would you skip an Eagles game for that? That's our test. When you're tempted to miss church for them, say, what if I had Eagles tickets? Would I skip the game for this reason? A lot of you would skip an Eagles game for any reason, right? All right, Giants game, you know. Jets, they're giving tickets away. So but would we do that? I mean, that's really a test, right? But you know, imagine if we had that same. You know, I was just reading about the Kansas City Chiefs game, and I don't know if you knew during one of the AFC playoff games they played in the coldest football game ever. It was -4. Did you remember that? It was so cold that many people had frostbite. But what a lot of people don't know is because of that intense frostbite, people are now having limbs amputated. Right now, Kansas City Chiefs fans are getting parts of their body cut off because it was so damaged by that cold. And they showed pictures of people out their shirts on, you know, drinking their beer. You know, you can see why, right? They were so dedicated, even though they were going to lose body parts, they were getting frostbite, they did not want to miss that game, right? And they were rewarded. They won another Super Bowl. But anyway, we are vital. Your gifts are vital in the body of Christ. We have to show up and use them. And to God, I remember hearing this many years ago, to God, our best ability is our availability. Our best ability is our availability. Now let's look at the gifts, and remember the goal is to figure out if we figure out what our gift is and to use it. So let's look at this list in Romans 12. Now, this is not comprehensive of all the spiritual gifts. There's Romans 12 has this, what we call the seven service gifts. Ephesians 4 has the five ministry gifts, ministry offices. 1 Corinthians 12 has nine gifts linked to the Holy Spirit in a special way. All are very important, but today I want to just focus on Romans 12, the service gifts, okay? And we'll read the gifts in verses 6 to 8. And I just want to make sure I have the right version here. Hold on. 12, 6 to 8, because I'm going to read it out of my Bible. Here we go. If I can read these little writing. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Okay? Now, keep in mind, spiritual gifts are different than abilities. We get these when we're born again versus when we're born physically, right? Okay? So, first of all, prophecy. The Greek word for prophecy is prophetia. It means to speak forth, to speak forth. It's used two ways in the fulfilled testament. Some people call that the New Testament. We hate that, right? So anyway, the fulfilled testament, all right? And it's used to foretell and forthtell. Foretell is predictive, what's going to happen in the future. Forthtell is preaching the word that's already, we already have, okay? This is most likely referring to forthtelling here, preaching the word and connecting the dots to people's lives and what God's trying to say to individuals and as a church. It's most likely the forthtelling part. So that's one, prophecy, preaching, really. The second gift is service. And the Greek word for service is diakonia. Diakonia. Does that sound familiar? Yes, that's where we get the word deacon from. That's right. Right, exactly. And it's practical service. It's talking about practical service. It involves meeting needs like a deacon, meeting the physical needs of the church and of individuals. These are usually the unsung heroes, They work behind the scenes, but they're vital. Like the football linemen, right? You only miss them when you don't notice them, but you notice when they don't do what they're supposed to do, right? And these are the unsung heroes. They're like that person. I think of Brian Scheel, who's one on our staff, and what is he? He's really a servant pastor. He does everything and anything, and boy, when he's not here, we miss him. That's a good example. My wife Kim is another example for the ladies. She's a that servant. She's not up front. She hates to be up front, except when people make her make TikTok videos, but that's to my daughters. It's not me, all right? She's still mad about that. Anyway, so the next one, so we have prophecy, service, then we have teaching, and the Greek word for this is didasco. Didasco. Does that sound like anything you know? Didactic. All right. Teaching, didactic. All right. It's all connected. That's where we get it from. And this is the ability to impart the revealed will, the word of God to others. That's what this is. And not only in a lecture, but through relationships. Think Jesus Christ, how he did it. He just was in relationship. He's eating, he's fishing with them, he's just sharing. It's natural. You're going into lunch, you can do it at lunch. You know, that's how we can teach, okay? The next one is encouragement. Encouragement. And the Greek for this is parakaleo. Parakaleo. That's where you get parakeet from. No, I'm kidding. We just got a parakeet. I got parakeet on the brain. So anyway, baby blue, Laurel's newest pet. One a week. Okay, so parakaleo, does that remind us of anybody? The Holy Spirit, thank you. That's what the Holy Spirit was called, the comforter, the paraclete. That's the Holy Spirit. He's the paraclete. He's the comforter, okay? Some translations for this encouragement, they use the word exhortation. Exhortation. I remember years ago, I had a youth pastor. We were doing spiritual gifts in the church, and he did it with the youth group. And then what we would do is we would teach on it. And then you go around in a circle and say, I think your gift is this and your gift is that. And one of the kids, when they were saying, what do you think his gift is? One of the other, his friend said, I think he has the gift of extortion. And my youth pastor, Jay, says, I know some TV preachers with that, but this is not what we're talking about, right? Yeah. Many TV preachers with that gift. But the idea is to exhort or to encourage. It means to by comforting. The gift of counseling comes to mind, where someone can encourage someone using scripture. Paul Vanderbilt is a counselor and has this gift, okay? The word literally means to come alongside of. Come alongside of. You can do it. You can do it. Come on, keep going. You can do it. That's what it means, okay? The next word on our gifts, we have prophecy, service, teaching, encouragement. Now we come to giving. Giving, and the Greek for this is metadidomai. It means contributing to the needs of others. Literally, contributing to the needs of others. Paul adds a twist to this, though. He says, let him give generously. Let him give generously. If you have this gift, give generously. We are all commanded to give. We're all commanded to tithe. That's a command in Scripture, tithe, 10% at least. We're also called to sacrificial giving, to missions and people in need. We're called to do that many, many times in Scripture. But this person is especially spiritually gifted to make a lot and give away a lot. They've got a special gift with us. And this person has been blessed with trust. They trust God that God's going to keep on letting them make a lot. I can give it away because God's going to take care of me. And they also have been blessed with a joyful abandonment of possession. The joyful abandonment of their possessions. Think Barnabas. Remember, Barnabas sold his field and gave his needs, and that's what this person have. This person gives to the church and gives to individual, give the missions, gives to individuals who are really in need. There's a lot of, we call it benevolence. We have a benevolence fund, but really it functions. Most churches, that's all they have, but ours just functions naturally because we have several people in our church who have this gift and really have this gift, and they're constantly looking out, blessing people, helping people, taking care of people. And I don't want to name them because they'll be embarrassed, but there's several people like that that have that. And I know lots of people in our church also are always looking out for other people's needs. So the next one is leadership. Leadership. The Greek word for this is, I can't remember. This is the one I couldn't remember how to pronounce, so I called Matthew and he told me, and now I can't remember again. Sorry, Matthew. But I think it's istamai, I think, Matthew, sorry. It means to stand, to stand. I remembered all the rest of them. I couldn't remember one word, so I called him. He knew right away, right? He just poof, knew it. It means to stand, to take the lead. And notice leadership is way down the list. It's almost last. Interesting, right? It's not glorified. It's way down on the list. And it's a spiritual gift. It's a spiritual gift. This is not because someone is an executive or is high type A personality, dominant personality types. This is not what it's talking about. No. I remember one church I was part of, one of the first churches I was on staff at, the whole elder board were executives. They're all executives. And you know what? We got nothing done. And you know why? Because they were used to telling people what to do. You know, they weren't used to doing anything. You know, they just wanted to tell. But there's no one to tell because they were all executives. They couldn't boss anybody. So we literally got nothing. I was being, what are we doing? We're getting nothing done. But I was only the youth pastor at the time, so I didn't care. But anyway, but there's nothing wrong with being a spiritual executive. There's nothing wrong with being a spiritual executive and having spiritual executives on your leadership team. There's nothing wrong with that. We have some great executives, spiritual executives. But we better have a mix. Every church needs a mix on their leadership team. Jesus had a mix. Who did he mix in? Fishermen. He had a lot of fishermen, you know? You know, the last people, a lot of these church I was in, they were never allowed a fisherman in or, someone like that. Oh, no, that'd be executive. You know, but that was the problem. But Jesus used fishermen. He called the least likely, but he was looking for servants. And I'm not putting down executives. We got a lot of executives here. We love you, love you, love you. But the point is that it has to be a spirit leadership. This is a spiritual thing. And everybody should have a servant mentality, right? But this is a spiritual gift. This leadership is a spiritual gift, okay? That's the key. Mercy, the last one is mercy. The Greek for this is eleos. It means a special capacity for mercy, pity, compassion, and empathy. And once again, we should all be compassionate, right? We should all be that. But this person has a special gift, a special capacity for compassion. And the Holy Spirit tells this person to do it cheerfully. Why would he do that? Because a lot of what they're doing is the dirty work, right? You know, cheerfully while you're cleaning up that throw up. You know, a lot of people sick out there. I don't want to go into the stories. But anyway, do it with a smile. Change that diaper, whistle while you work, you know? Sing a praise song. This is the day the Lord has made. Did I do it? Anyway. So there we have the list. What is my gift? What do you think your gift is? What do you think it is? Have you found your spiritual gifts? Have you unwrapped them? Are you still using them? One thing I encourage everybody to serve, just start serving. Work in the nursery. Work with the youth group. You know, help set up before church. Help clean up after church. You know, get on the security team. Go out with Chuck Harrison and witness on the streets. Just start serving. And what often happens is you find what energizes you. And where you see fruit, you start to see fruit. And you see what energizes you. And you ask other Christians, how do you see God using me, working in me? Where do you see? Another important thing is a spiritual gift inventory. We got a whole pile back there on the table and then on the chair right on the way out. We'll have these. I want to encourage you to grab one of these spiritual gift inventories. We rushed them to get them on time. We ordered them. But take it and see what spiritual gifts might be emerging. Now, you might take this 5 years from now. You've matured. You're doing a lot more, and more gifts will emerge. But just kind of see where God might have gifted you and start to aim toward using that spiritual gift in the body of Christ or down in Philadelphia with our ministry or on the mission, you know, short-term mission field, whatever. Start looking. Talk to your home fellowship. Talk to Kim and I. Talk to other Christians. Say, how could I use this gift? But these are really a great tool. I want to encourage you, maybe even your home fellowships, after you've taken them, you could discuss it in the group. Go around and say, oh, I think your gift is extortion. You can start to do that, okay? So, all right. So that spiritual gift inventories are really good. They're going to be on the back table. We're going to leave them back there. And I want to encourage you to, the next thing is to get off the bench into the game. We've been talking about football. Get off the bench and into the game. There are way too many people on the bench. Too many people not in the game. There are too many what I call tonsil Christians. I thought of this years ago. Tonsil Christians. Why do I use that? Did anybody here get their tonsils out? It was a big deal at one time, right? I remember getting mine out. I was 5 years old. My throat was hurting, kept hurting. Went to the doctor. He's going to get your tonsils out. Went to the hospital. I never forget the nurse came in, and that's when they kept you overnight. They were going to keep me overnight. But they said, okay, you're going to get, you know, you're going to give you this pill, and you're going to fall asleep. And I said, I'm not falling asleep. And she goes, oh, yes, you are. I'm not falling asleep. You watched me. I was five, right? I'm not falling asleep. Next thing I woke up, my throat was really sore, you know, because they took out my tonsils. But they gave me ice cream. That was the good part, right? But the thing about tonsils is we're not sure what they do. And once they're gone, we don't miss them. But there's no such thing as tonsil Christian. There's no such thing. People think they're a Christian. They think they can just do it. We need you, and we miss you if you're not using your spiritual gifts. Very important. 2 Timothy 1:6 says this, for this reason I remind you to fan in the flame the gift of God that is in you through the laying on of my hands. For this reason I remind you to fan in the flame the gift of God that is in you. We all need to get fired up. We got to be fired up about what God has given us. So grab the spiritual gifts inventory, find out what it is, find your gifts, fan in the flame, and start using those gifts. And I want to say this to those who are here and you're not a Christian yet. You say, well, I don't have these gifts. You don't have those gifts. You don't get it until the Holy Spirit comes in. But until, before you can get your spiritual gifts, you have to receive the gift of eternal life. You have to receive the gift of salvation. You have to receive the gift that God wants to give to every one of us. You have to accept that gift of a new life. John 3:16 says this, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. The word believe there is not intellectual. The Greek for that word is to cling to completely depend on. And in our life, at some point, we must be, John 3:3, you must be born again. Just as you're born with these abilities, we have to be born again, spiritually born, by putting our faith in Jesus Christ, putting our faith in him. Say, God, I believe your son, you gave your one and only son to die on the cross in my place. So be my substitute, so I could be forgiven, so that I could be, all the shame could be washed away, so that I could have a brand new life. I put my faith in his death and resurrection. He didn't just die for us, he became alive so that we could be justified, remember? So we could have a brand new life. That gives us the resurrection power to live a new life. But when we put our faith in Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes in and we are a new creation in Christ. Have you ever received that gift of life from Jesus Christ? I hope you do it, because as soon as you do, you're going to get another gift. Maybe lots of them, spiritual gifts. Let's pray. How is the Holy Spirit speaking to us? Maybe here, and you've never put your faith in Jesus Christ. You don't have spiritual gifts because you still need to receive the gift of Jesus Christ. You need to receive and believe, it says in John 1:12. Receive and believe. And you can do that right now. You can put your faith in Jesus right now. You can receive the Holy Spirit right now. And when you do, you'll know it. Your life will change. The Bible will come be on fire to you. You won't be able to do the same garbage you used to do, because you're going to feel conviction. You're going to have leading to do certain things in your life. You're going to have a peace and joy you never thought possible. A purpose in Jesus Christ. But first, you must put your faith in Jesus. And you do that in your heart. You could be doing that in your heart right now. But I always encourage people to say a simple prayer of faith, a biblical prayer, to put an exclamation on it in your heart. To say, God, I repent. I repent of everything in my life that is what you call sin. Everything in my life that goes against your word, I repent of that. I ask you to forgive me. Forgive me. Because I'm putting my faith in your son Jesus. Your one and only son, Jesus. His death on the cross for me. His resurrection from the dead to give me a new life. I put my faith in him. I give my life to you, God. Just pray it from the heart. God will sort it out. But if you have put your faith in Jesus Christ, your life will never be the same. You have now have salvation. You have a brand new life here and forever with God. And I want to encourage you to tell somebody. Maybe you're here with a friend or family member. Maybe tell me on the way out. Maybe you have somebody at work who's been talking to you, or at school or college, or your grandma somewhere praying for you. Tell somebody today. Because we're going to be excited for you and encourage you to go find your gifts now. For those of us who already put our faith in Jesus Christ, how is the Holy Spirit speaking to us? Maybe we didn't even know we had spiritual gifts. But would you commit, say, God, I want to find my spiritual gifts. I want to use my spiritual gifts. I want to make a difference for eternity. Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would work through each person here, that our church would be energized. Each person here would be energized by serving you to our full potential, using the gifts you've created us, the talents you gave us at our birth, but also the spiritual gifts you gave us at our salvation, the purpose that you created us to have. We pray this in Jesus' name.